Gospel of Matthew chapter 28. We've been staying in the same verse for quite a long time, but there's a lot to look at. Last time we were together, we talked about baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That these three persons in the one God are vital to our relationship. That God is who He is, and He is perfectly righteous and does everything right in every way. And now we come to this, the last part of this verse that we've been looking at, and this is the whole section, Matthew 28:18. We'll read that. Why don't we read this out loud together, just these three verses together. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." The last verse is what we're going to be looking at today. And as we look at this last verse, he says this, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, or therefore, I'm with you always, or look, I'm with you always, or pay attention, I'm with you always. That's what the idea is behind that little word. Pay attention, I am with you always to the end of the age. Take notice of this truth. And so I want us to think about the Word of God today, and the Word of Jesus Christ particularly, when it says teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Everything that I have said. Thanks, Francis. Everything that I've said, I want you to teach them to observe it. God is not just interested in you knowing some truths. You could have Bible discussions, and you could have try to learn new things about the Bible and feed your mind, but God wants you to feed your soul. He wants the truth of the Word of God not to just burn into your intellect, but He wants it to burn into your heart. And He wants it to become real in your everyday living. That's why He says, teaching them to observe. Do you notice what it says there? To observe, to actually put into practice the things that I have commanded to you. Sadly, sometimes Christians can get in the place where they like to study the Bible, but they're studying the Bible for the knowledge of it and not for the relationship that comes from it. And they miss the real thing. We don't want to be there. Well, I would venture to say most of us have more head knowledge than we do heart knowledge. And what God wants us to do is to have heart knowledge. If we would take the head knowledge we already have and put it into practice, wow, what would be happening? So let me encourage you as we look at this passage of Scripture, because this is what I'm supposed to be doing, teaching you to observe all things that Jesus commanded. And then you're supposed to be teaching others. Right? We're all to be teaching and sharing with others the things that Jesus commanded. And when we consider the things that Jesus commanded, wow, what do we have to look at? We have so much when we become aware that the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we stop and think about this. This is just before Jesus goes back, and we think about who this one is. Because first of all, if you're going to take somebody seriously, if you're going to take their teaching seriously, what do you got to do?
Practice.
Yeah, that's true. You have to actually take Him seriously, right? If you don't take Him seriously, you're certainly not going to take His Word seriously. So when you stop and you have to reflect on the fact that God has revealed Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ, that this one who was God in eternity came down to this world and became a man, was born in a manger, grew up, and was God personally in the flesh. So when we got to stop and think about who Jesus is, because then when you think about who He is, then every word that He says is so vital and so important. We look in the Old Testament, and here in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1, we discover something pretty incredible to look at. It says here, "Moreover, brothers, I did not want you to be unaware that all our fathers," that's the people in the Old Testament, their ancestors is what he says, "were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." Where was the cloud? What was the cloud? Help me. Well, what was the cloud, though, in the wilderness? The Lord. The Lord made His presence known in a cloud by day and a fiery pillar by night. And so they guided them. He took them forward, right? And He says they were in the cloud and they all passed through the sea. That was the Red Sea. Remember, the sea opened up, the children of Israel went through, and then the sea closed back on top of the Egyptians. And in this respect, they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, that Moses was their leader, Moses was their follower. But at the same time, it says, they all ate the same spiritual food, and they all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank at the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was? It was Christ. It was Christ in the Old Testament. Christ was there. And Christ was the one who was feeding them. Christ was the one who was guiding them. Christ was the one who was present. This is the Jesus that came into the world. He was there at the time of Moses. He was there in the Old Testament, guiding and directing. He was there. The Father was at work, the Son was at work, and the Spirit of God was at work, because we know the Holy Spirit was the one who actually authored the book of Genesis and the book of Exodus that we look at. And the Father was directing Christ, and Christ was alive and much at work long before he came into this world. And so Jesus could say in John chapter 5, verse 39, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." The Old Testament scriptures, all of the whole of the Old Testament Bible was about Jesus. The stories of the Old Testament, from Moses to Samson to all the judges to Gideon, all of these things were pointing to Jesus. The life of David, the Psalms, as we've been studying the Psalms on Wednesday night, we're discovering it's about Jesus. It's about him. The whole world revolves around the person of Jesus Christ, because by him all things were made, for him all things were made. That's what Colossians chapter 1 teaches us. Sadly, in John 5:40, he said to them, "But you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." These were Old Testament scholars. These were people he was talking to who knew the Old Testament. They could quote huge sections of it, but he said, "You don't see that the scriptures are all about me. And you're not willing to come to me that you might have life." What a tragedy when they were exposed to the Bible and they weren't hearing it. In Luke chapter 9, verse 29, as Jesus was on the mountaintop and he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Moses from the Old Testament, Elijah from the Old Testament. They both appeared to Jesus. And we know that Moses represents the law. Elijah represents the prophets. It represents the fullness of the Old Testament. And it says they appeared in glory with Jesus on that mountain. And they spoke of his decease, which means his death, that he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. The whole of the Old Testament is about Christ and him crucified. The whole about the New Testament is about Christ and him crucified. So when we want to stop and think about when Jesus says, "I want you to teach them to observe all the things I have commanded you," we should sit up and take notice, shouldn't we? Because of who he is. Because he is the Son of God. Because he is God who came into the world and walked among men. And we should stop and realize, wow, everything that Jesus says is vital. Everything that Jesus says is important. And I need to hang on every word of it. And I need to be willing to say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you say, that's what I will do." The teachings of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is called the Word. Now, I talked a little bit about this last week in the Trinity, in teaching on the Trinity. He is called the Word. John chapter 1, verse 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So the Word was with God, so we know he was with somebody, which was God the Father and the Spirit, but the Word also was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. He's the creator. He was the creator of Adam and Eve. He was the light of the world. He was the light of the world, and he still is the light of the world. But John 1:14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us," lived among us. "And we saw his glory." We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the one who came to earth. He is the living Word. So we have to understand that there's two things that we will discover as we look today. One is the living Word, and the other is the written Word. And how they fit together, because they're important. Because Jesus was telling them, "Go and teach everything that I have commanded you." That, therefore, is what? Going to be the written word, but the living word is giving the command. And now we're going to see how the living word and the written word come together as we look at this passage. Look in 1 Timothy 3:16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. It's hard for us to grasp the fullness of it, but listen what it says in this passage. God was manifested in the flesh. God was revealed in the flesh. Who's that? That's Jesus. He was justified in the Spirit. The Spirit came upon him. He was seen by angels. He was preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. All about God. All about Jesus. What a powerful verse that is. Doesn't that tell you? Listen, I want to hear the words of Jesus. You want to hear God speak to you? Would you like for God to suddenly, amazingly, and wonderfully speak to you personally? My goodness, he's doing it all the time. He has given us his word, the living word himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God at various times and in various ways, Hebrews chapter 1, spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. God spoke in many different ways, and we have the whole of the Old Testament to tell us about that. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Not just the world, but the worlds. Everything. The universe was made by the Lord Jesus Christ. God spoke by prophets. But now God says, I'm taking it further. I am sending my Son. And God was manifested in the flesh. And he spoke in these last days by his Son. Praise God. Oh, how vital it is to open the Word of God and read it. What a treasure it is, because God is revealing his truths about himself and about ourselves. It's God is speaking through his Word. And his Word was so powerful. In John 7:44, I've often referred to this passage. Now, some of them wanted to arrest Jesus. They wanted to take him. But no one laid hands on him. As a matter of fact, some of the Pharisees had sent officers to arrest Jesus, right? And the officers came to the chief priests and the Pharisees, who said to them, why have you not brought him? We sent you to arrest him. How come you didn't take him? And the officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. The words of Jesus were so powerful. When they went to arrest him, they went, whoa, nobody's ever spoke like this man. We can't touch him. So they scurried back. They heard the word of the Lord. They heard Jesus. The living word was standing in front of them. Praise the Lord. But not only do we have the living word, and oh, we could say so much about this Lord Jesus, about God becoming a man, about his willingness to walk in humility in this world, though he was the very Son of God, about his willingness to face all of the temptations that we have tasted and yet never sin, of a willingness to set his face towards the cross no matter what was happening and not to deviate from it. A willingness not to do one miracle for his own benefit, but to do everything he could for mankind, and to love and to bless and to encourage and to touch and to reach out and heal the blind and raise the dead, and full of compassion and mercy, and to take those who were swimming in sin and go alongside of them and bless them and touch them and deliver them and say to them, go and sin no more. This is the Savior. This is the living Word of God. This is the one, Jesus Christ. This is God who has become a man so that we could know him. And I praise the Lord for that. I praise God that we have the living word. But he has not left us with just a history of the living word, but he has given us the written word. And so even Jesus himself could say about the written word of the Old Testament in Matthew 4:4, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And he was quoting the Old Testament. He was talking about the things that happened way back at the time of Moses and David and Elijah and Isaiah. And he says, we need to live by what is written in the word of God. That's how man should live. Every word, he says. And now the Son of God himself is speaking. Wow. Shouldn't we live by his words? You know, it's incredible. Not long ago, I was reading something where some people come up with a new idea. The new idea was the New Testament only started after Jesus died. So the teachings of Jesus are really Old Testament law. And we don't need to follow them. We just need to follow from the book of Acts on. Do you think that's true? If that was true, then the very words that Jesus said to his disciples, go and teach them to observe all the things that I have commanded you, would be wrong. It would be false, wouldn't it? No, the New Testament started with the birth, with the descent of the Lord Jesus Christ into the world, because he is the initiator of the new covenant, and everything he taught was to bring us into this new covenant with God. Of course, it was sealed at the cross, but it was initiated by the person of Christ. We have the living word, we have the written word, and we have the word who was crucified for us. Yes. Yeah.
They didn't believe in God, that there is a God. And I'm just reading 12:48, where it says, he who rejects me.
Yeah, pretty strong. He who rejects me, John 12:48, and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Wow. He's saying, not only am I going to judge, because he's going to judge the living and the dead. We find that well taught in the Bible. He is. But what does he say? The words that I have spoken will judge you in the last day. Did you get that? Wow, if that's true, if then my judgment is going to hang on the words of what Jesus said, whether I am following what he said in his word or whether I'm not, then I want to know what it says. I want to be sure that I understand who Jesus is and what he has to say to me, because I want to be ready for judgment. And I want to say today, thank God that I am. And everyone can be, because Jesus Christ declared his word that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Hallelujah. Praise God. What a promise. What a fact. I was reading something where G. Campbell Morgan, who was a preacher, I think you said you were reading one of his books. Anyway, he was at this meeting and they were reading actually Matthew 28, where he says, lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And he looked up and there was two women with him, and he said, what a promise. He was only a young man, and the old lady that was with him, she said, young man, that's not a promise, it's a fact. And it's true. It's a fact. Yes, it's a promise, but it's not just a promise, it's a fact. Praise the Lord. I'm with you always to the end of the age. Christ died for our sins. All of the truths about who Jesus Christ is will judge in the last day. They will tell the tale. Because if I speak with someone, sometimes I might say to them, I said, look, if you don't believe in the Lord Jesus, you're going to be lost for eternity. You won't get into heaven. You're judging me. You're judging me. You're not allowed to judge. And I say to them, look, I'm not judging you. Jesus said it. And he said, my words will judge you. All I'm doing is telling you the truth. You do what you want with it. And how important it is then to hear the words of Jesus. Every word that Jesus said is important. Look at John 12:47. And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. That sounds strange. I do not judge him. For I didn't come to judge the world, but to save the world. But listen. But he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. Did you get that? Did you see what he says? He says, I didn't come to condemn. I didn't come to destroy. I came to save you. But understand this. My words will judge you on the last day. The things that I'm telling you now will stand in judgment on you then. How important it is then to listen to the word of the Lord. If we reject him and do not receive his words, we will fall under the judgment of those very words in the last day. Now when we consider this, listen to this passage in Hebrews 2:1. This was a warning to people that how much we need to pay attention to Jesus. Therefore, Hebrews 2:1, we must give the more earnest heed, in other words, we must listen very carefully to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will? What a warning. It says, listen, if the earlier words that were revealed from God are true, and that there was, if they didn't listen to God, they were judged, how much now that you have heard the very words of Jesus Christ, how important it is to take heed to the written word of God. Jesus said himself in Matthew 7:24, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and doesn't do them, and does them, I liken him to a wise man who built his house on a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. The wise man built his house upon the rock. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. But the house on the rock stood firm. But sadly, the foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. And the rains came tumbling down. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. The rains came down and the floods came up. And the house on the sand fell flat. That's what happens. That's what happens. Everyone who hears these sayings of mine, Matthew 7:26, and does not do them is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat on the house, and it fell. And listen to these words, and great was the fall of it. Great was the fall of that house that was built on sand. Oh, friends, you don't want to be a house built on sand. And so the last little part of the course is, so build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. Build your life on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the blessings will come tumbling down. Thank you, Marie. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. He has given us a wonderful foundation to build our lives on. The truths of his sayings. That's what he said. Whoever builds his life on my sayings, on my teachings, on my word. Hallelujah. We have a place to stand on, a firm foundation. All other ground, as one hymn says, is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. But I bless the Lord and I thank God that there is a foundation offered. There is a place of safety. There is a new life that's offered. All of the teachings of Jesus are vital and they're important. I have so enjoyed us going through the Gospel of Matthew that I don't want it to quit. I'm hanging on to the end of Matthew as long as I can. Have you noticed? And so it was in Matthew 7:28, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his teachings, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. There was something powerful about his words, something real. And I'll tell you what, God has given you and me and the people of God the privilege of speaking with the same authority of Jesus Christ as we open the Word of God, because Jesus' authority came from the Spirit's working, and so the Holy Spirit comes to live in you. You can speak the Word of God with authority. It's not your power, not your strength, not your authority, but the authority of God. Because Jesus said, I don't speak of my own authority, I speak of the Father's. So you can say, I'm not speaking of my own authority. And I can tell you today, I'm not speaking from my own authority. I'm speaking of from the authority of Christ. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So praise God.
You're passing the written word, and it becomes, as it's coming in, intake, and through you also, it comes out of you, the living word, and it's what it
is. That's good. And that's where we're going to go to, because I want you to see that this, the written word alone doesn't cut it. You need both. And so he's teaching them, again, I said earlier, to observe all the things that I have commanded you, Jesus said. And I mean, I could read the four Gospels together right now so you could see all the things, but I guess we don't have time to do that. But now, what I want you to see, that this observing is a necessity. James 1:21, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Isn't that something? Huh. But, listen, he says, be you doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, and for he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he is or was. I'm kind of like that. I have a glance in the mirror once a day, and then I don't know what I'm looking like the rest of the day. Everybody else has to put up with what they see, right? But he says, don't be like that when it comes to the word of God. You look at the word of God and let it reflect back to you what you really are, and you allow the word of God to work in your life. Let the word of God change you, because he says, don't be deceived. Be a doer, not just a hearer of the word of God. So we have the written word of God. Thank the Lord. We have the promises of God. We have the challenge that we're to observe the word of God. But you know, sometimes, how do we go about this? Well, here's a little passage here that speaks about this teaching and preaching in Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How will they call on him whom they have not believed? How are people going to get saved if they haven't believed? Right? And then it says, and how can they believe in him if they've not heard about him? Make sense so far? Okay. So then it says, and how shall they hear without a preacher? In other words, somebody's got to go and tell the news, right? Right? Now, when it says a preacher, don't you just think about me. It means you too, right? We're all called to preach the word. That's what actually Paul writes to Timothy. He says, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Now, what did Jesus say? Go and preach the gospel, right? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace and who bring glad tidings of good things. I've got beautiful feet today. You want to see them? Huh? Who said that, Marie? Oh, okay. Yeah, my feet aren't quite so beautiful. They're actually kind of ugly. So how can he say I have beautiful feet? Yeah, how beautiful. Is the idea of the feet is that I'm going with the gospel. That's what's beautiful. Going with the gospel is beautiful. Going and sharing the written word of God is beautiful. It's wonderful because it's good news. It's glad tidings and it's good things. But not all have obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the what? The word of God. What am I going to share? The word of God. Now, some people would say, oh, this doesn't mean the Bible. It does mean the Bible. It does mean the word of God. It does mean the teachings and the words of Jesus Christ. And what happens is then we have the living word. We've already talked about Jesus being the living word. We've talked about the written word. And now what I want to do is I want to look at the living word and the written word and see how they come together. Because you need both. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. So now we can find that it almost seems to blend the two together now. The written word is called the sword of the Spirit. You see Ephesians 6:17? Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's the written word. Under the control of the Holy Spirit, the written word does this. It pierces inside. It opens my eyes. It shows me I'm a sinner. It shows me a savior. And it shows me how to be saved. And it gives me the grace to be able to turn to God. The written word has this incredible power about it, that when it's wielded by the Holy Spirit, it becomes powerful. And the living word is tied to the written word, so the very person of Jesus Christ comes alongside with his word. As you share the word of God, the presence of the Lord Jesus is there, and he is ministering the truths of his word into people's lives. It's powerful. Incredible. Here's a couple of the titles of Jesus. Look what it says here. Revelation 19:13. When Jesus returns, it says he was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. What does that signify? The cross. His death for our sins. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called what? The Word of God. But not only is his name called the Word of God, what does it say in verse 15? Revelation 19:15. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, and that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron, for he himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword. What do you think that sharp sword is? It is the Word of God. The written word and the living word. You need both. I need both. Indeed, if we don't understand that, we won't understand the next verse that says, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Listen. The living word himself has come to be inside of you. The spirit of the living God has come to be inside of you. So as you share the written word of God, the spirit of God works. The spirit of God takes it and does something with it. Not me, him. Not my power, his power. And that is why we can go forward. That is why we can go out and teach the truth of God, depending on the living word to bring the written word into the hearts of men and women. My hope as I come to share with you is not that I could be so persuasive and I could twist your ears and speak so cleverly that somehow you're going to get this and live it. That's not my hope. My hope is that the Spirit of God takes the truth of the Word of God and burns it in your soul, so that suddenly you hear the authority of God behind the Scriptures and not me. That I'm just the vessel, just the flow through, so that God's Word burns in your soul. And that is my hope for you as you share the Word of God. And it ought to be your hope. Don't put your hope in your cleverness. Don't think you have to know everything. But you can take the truth from God's word and you can share it with people. You can trust that the Spirit of God, that the living word will work. And suddenly people will be convicted or convinced of their need of God and be saved. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you today, Lord, that you are the living word. But thank you, Lord, you've left us with the written word. And we praise you, O God, that we can take this written word in the authority of the living word and bring it to people, and that they can be convicted and convinced and be saved as a result of it. Lord, give us the courage, Lord, and the faith to believe that we can go, and we can go today. We can go today in the authority of Jesus Christ and share the good news to every creature. We thank you so much, Father, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.